I love you from the bottom of my heart, and I count this as a great opportunity to have come and to fellowship with the amazing family of God. I want to go straight in the word. Isaac has made a wonderful introduction of me, but this is my second time to be in Nigeria. The first time I came, it was a very big story, but I came as far as Port Harcourt, Cross River, Karaba, and the people I was connected to were not right people. But anyway, the Lord spoke to me that your visit has a meaning. One time, as you walk by in this life, I'll connect you to the right people from Nigeria. So when the team came to Uganda, I was so inquisitive. I was so inquisitive to see whether these are going to be a true Nigerian. And I have a testimony before you. This team are true people of God. And I feel deep inside of my heart that we are connected to build the kingdom of God. I want to share from the book of Romans, chapter 16 and verses 24. Romans chapter 16 and verses 24. It's my prayer that people will pick up with my accent, East African accent. 16:24, verses 25. It says, "Now to him who is able to establish you according to my gospel." I want us as a church to mark this first point, that he can establish you. This was Paul writing, that who can establish you according to my gospel and under the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery kept secret since the world began. I want to begin with a point, according to my gospel. Paul, in his time, when he was ministering the word, he had a deeper understanding about the gospel. And in this very verse I have just read, he says, according to my gospel. Folks, I want you to mark that word, according to my gospel. Paul didn't say, according to my pastor's gospel. He didn't say, according to Jesus' gospel. In this phase, he says, according to my gospel. What does it mean? It means Paul and the gospel had become one. In other words, Paul and the gospel are inseparable. Paul lived the gospel. The gospel became part of Paul. That if you met Paul on the way, you have met the gospel. Paul, he owned the gospel. It was no longer just Jesus' gospel, but it was now his gospel. Folks, God is calling us today that we own the gospel. That the gospel becomes part of who we are. Not what only we preach. At times, I have found many leaders, they use the Bible to get the message to preach. The Bible should not be just a book where you read to get a message to preach. It should be a book that you read for you to dine, to feed on the Word of God. Then when you eat the Word of God, when you begin to produce, you are sure you are producing the gospel. Make a picture. If in the morning you planted an apple tree, what's going to be your harvest? You harvest apples. Why? Because you are sure that you planted an apple. If we are rooted in the gospel, Paul was preaching the gospel and he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God to do what? To into salvation, to break the tradition of men. We shouldn't make the gospel anything which is not according to the Bible. Amen. When the gospel was brought in Africa many years ago, it was turned into the power of begging. Many people, they used the gospel as a form of begging. That's why I'm fully convicted, I'm fully persuaded that the gospel has been revived in our hearts. This is the amazing family the Lord is putting us together, that Africa will be revived. That now the gospel is meant to bring a change and to break the principalities in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul puts another point. He says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ. Number one, Paul is owning the gospel. Two, he is preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. He's not preaching about who he is. He's not preaching about the fame. He's not preaching about what he has done. But he is concentrating on the Lord Jesus Christ. He's preaching who is Jesus. He's preaching Jesus. He's preaching the message. Let me read another scripture as I'm driving my point. Remember one time, Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28, he says, come to me who are heavy burdened. Come and you have rest. Come to me. I want to paint a picture here. When Jesus says, come to me, many times we think to use this scripture when we are outside the church. We think we are calling other people to come who have a burden to rest. But when Jesus was addressing this point, he was in the church. He was addressing this scripture to the disciples that you come and rest. Come and receive free salvation. Come and receive free healing. And on that very particular place, on that place, he gave another word, which I want us to read in Matthew chapter 11. I hope we are on the same page. I just hope we are on the same page. Okay. So Matthew 11, verses 28, he says, come to me, all ye you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Then verses 29, he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Now we want to see the work Jesus did on the cross. The work of the Lord Jesus in his cross has now been set forth in two aspects, which I want to explain. The first part of the work done on the cross, it is the complete work of salvation. The final work, call it the finished work on the cross. The finished work on the cross, we benefit, we receive from that point of view. Christ was crucified, he was bruised, he suffered death on the cross. Of the cross, that the life I live now is the life of Christ. My life has been exchanged, that now I live another's life. And the life I live now, remember the words of Paul, he says, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ liveth is me in me. Now, it's no longer the old nature, but now it's the new creation. The past have gone away. Now, we began our day one to live in Christ. Isn't this so amazing that now we have free eternity? That's why Paul puts it right. He says, it's not by works, it's by the grace that now we have received the eternity. We have received another life. That of none of us, we can show the works that we can receive this life. We cannot pay or send $100 somewhere for the anointed man that he can send us the anointing oil to be healed. The healing has been made free. And Jesus Christ, he paid everything. Hallelujah. But I want to show you something in the next minute. That when we take our burden, when the grace brings us on the press of cross, folks, we do not go back home. We don't go back into our tradition. When we come to the press of cross, we die there. He says, verses 29, take my yoke, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Many people don't realize this point, that the moment we get into Jesus Christ, we don't go back in our own ways. We don't do as the world system does. Our life is crucified there. Then we live another's life. Then we take the yoke daily. That is the way of the cross. I'm bringing two aspects of the cross. Number one, the benefit we receive. Free life, free eternity. But we carry the yoke every day. Folks, we die every day. Potential work of the cross. We want to see the potential work. The potential work of the cross. This meaning that which is full and final in the Lord Jesus has yet to be full and final in us. Jesus Christ is the example. So we are in the footsteps of Jesus Christ. So when we get there, in that place, we are walking that the full life of Christ may be expressed fully in our lives. Isn't that so amazing? It is the potential as far as the church itself is concerned. Then when we are called from the world to come in, and then we receive everything free, then we begin to walk. We have a responsibility. We carry the yoke and the burden. Every day. We are not so spiritual here, and when we go back home, we go back into our routine system. This conference or this camp meeting will have made no meaning if we come now here and we are changed and we go back home and we go back into our traditional, into our system. This meeting could have has no meaning if our lives are gonna go back in our cocoon where we came from. It's my prayer that as we go home, our life is gonna be exchanged, and now we live the life of another, and this is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That when people meet us on the way, they are gonna meet Christ. They are gonna see that Christ may be conformed in our image. This is the goal to the church, to the maturity, to become a mature man, that we may be able to receive our inheritance. We are not working for inheritance, but we work in our inheritance. The church for many years have been a baby church. That's why we have been tossed by every kind of a wind and every kind of doctrine and every kind of craftiness and every kind of negative teaching, because the church remained a baby. But now that God has given us opportunity to know that we are walking according to His will, not our will. Our brother Chijok was saying yesterday that my will is ever contrary to the will of the Father. Remember when Jesus was in Gethsemane, He prayed the first sentences, the first part. He was praying, Lord, change this thing. He was bit frustrated to go on the cross. Until when He made a mention, it's not me, but let your will be done. Folks, when we get on the cross, our will is destroyed. The wisdom and the world system are destroyed. It's no longer that I go where I want to go. Just make a picture. If it was not that you have to walk the way of the cross, at this time, where could you be? Many of you at this time, today is 24th, we used to be in the market trying to figure out what to put on, trying to figure out what to eat tomorrow, trying to figure out what to feed on your family. We were caught up by days, but now we are caught up in Jesus Christ. Many of us now, we could have been outside trying to figure out what am I going to eat, where am I going to get money. But now we are having an amazing family by the blood of Jesus Christ. In Gethsemane, Jesus is living the way of the cross. He said, it's no longer me, but Father, let your will be done. And the will of the Father was to see Jesus on the cross, to see the sin crucified there. And the Bible says, and God empowered His Son. I have found many people
They tell me, Pastor Wilson, Africa is missing the fathers. So what? The fathers are missing. There's no fathers. There's no fathers. Even Paul put it right. He said, we have many tutors, but few fathers. And everybody's coming up, I say, I'm a father, I'm a father. Then I was asking them, until you answer the question, whose son are you? The problem is not just coming up, I'm a father, I'm a father. The question is, whose son are you? Until you answer, whose son are you? And always I'm painting a picture of Isaac in the Bible. He went with his dad on sacrifice. And Isaac is asking his dad, where is the sacrifice? And Abraham prayed, God will provide. God will take care of it. God will fix everything. And amazingly, Abraham got hold of Isaac on the altar. This was a young man, probably above 17 years of age, muscular boy, Isaac. And the Bible is very clear. They went back together. They went, Abraham and his son, they went back together. Many people are failing to answer this question. If I bring correction, if I rebuke you, do I remain your father? If I bring a correction, do I remain your leader? Many people, the Bible says in the latter days, the people, ears of people are itching. They are kind of the gospel they want to hear. There are a lot of kind of things they want to hear. Their ear itching. They don't want to hear this gospel. But Isaac was a type of Christ. He was able to walk back home with his father. If God is raising up sons, if God is raising up fathers, we must first obey the gospel. We must see what the gospel really says. To be a son, it means to sacrifice your life. To be a son of the Father, son of God, is to sacrifice your life. Hello? How much are we willing to sacrifice our life that now we know our position as sons of God? Isaac went home with his dad. That's a sign that he accepted to be a sacrifice. He accepted to be a sacrifice. In this camp meeting, folks, are you willing to be a sacrifice? Are you ready that you sacrifice your life? That's what it means to be in Christ. Many people think about making the gospel a supermarket. Every time we come to Jesus, we say, give me, give me, give me, give me. He's more than a supermarket. He's more. He wants to transform us. He wants to change us. He wants us to live that we become fully the ambassador of that kingdom. The disciples never came to Jesus and said, Jesus, give us something. Jesus, give us some money. Jesus, give us some dollars. Give us some visas to go over the world. No, they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus said, when you pray, say that our Father, sentence number one, our Father is the way, our Father is the first statement that breaks the spirit of an orphan. The spirit of an orphan is when people, they are outside looking inside. We have many people that are outside looking inside. They are trying to figure out what they can get out of Jesus. They can figure out what they can benefit out of the meetings. He said, oh, Father, right in heaven. He is my Father. I'm not a beggar. Africans, we are not a beggar because the gospel has come to us. We are going to change the entire Africa. Because why? Because the gospel is the power. That's why I lay down my life on that. I know my Father. We have a Father. He knows the problem of Africa. No one can fix the problem of Africa. But the gospel can fix the problem of Africa. Because Jesus Christ is preached. Few dollars. They can't fix the problem you have. Your problem is beyond few dollars. Your problem is beyond. So don't use the gospel just on a few things. Let the gospel remain pure. I said let the gospel remain pure. Let us die there. Let us die on the cross. That's what I'm saying today. When this team come to Uganda sometime, we heard from him teaching about traditional. And he made a mention about the gowns, the accumulating things in the church. And somebody came to me and said, that man Chijoke, who is that man? Does he mean we shouldn't put on gowns and we do this thing like dawa and what? I told him, you have heard the gospel. We thought, we saw Wilson. We are wondering about where we are getting those men. I said, now we are hitting Africa with the gospel. When Paul was in, this is not about on the pulpit. It's about going to be the entire of our life. Folks, I'm talking about our life. Paul, who owned the gospel, he was in prison one day. And people went to visit him, to see him. He never said, please, brethren, I'm sending my prayer request. I'm sending to you my prayer request. Pray for me that I get out of prison. He didn't say, please, where have you been all this time? Today, folks, we have people that if you don't visit them, if you don't call them, they say, you don't care for us. You don't understand us. The heat is the fire of the heat is intensifying. And the chocolate believers are melting. Paul stood up. Philippians 1:6. And he said, beloved, I'm fully persuaded. He who began a good work in us. Folks, he who began this an apostolic work. He who began this team. Who he began this fellowship. He knows how to take us over. We are going all the way. Paul never said, please pray for me that I get out of here. He said, I'm persuaded, I know. He who began a good work in us is going to carry it up to the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, if we are going to change the tradition of Africa, if we are going to change something, if we are going to change something, we must even be ready to be in prison. When I was still a young preacher, they told us, come to Jesus, you'll get money. Come to Jesus, you'll go to America. Come to Jesus, you'll get this. Come to Jesus. I pray for you. I have anointing that you go over, you go to America. But now I'm saying, to be in Jesus is to be. If you have been reading history, church history, people, we are standing in their footsteps. They died. But in their hearts, they had another life. That this physical life was not mattering. They could take Christ everywhere. If you want to see the move of God, come out of the group of compromisers. Should I challenge you, Nigerians? In Uganda, we know you as giant of Africa. Everywhere we go, we say, the giant of Africa is Nigeria. You better wake up in the spiritual realm and you begin to fight for your position as giant in Christ. The better way of doing it is by putting the right gospel. All of these fake preachers must come out of Nigeria and they are repressed and they change. The first time I came in Nigeria, they brought me here in Port Harcourt. They brought me by train here in Port Harcourt to preach. It was a big gathering, I don't know where, but I stood up and I said, I am your brother Wilson. And the man who brought me from Lagos, he was Archbishop. Then he took me in the corner and said, He began to rebuke me. He said, "Why do you introduce yourself as Brother Wilson? You don't know you are a great man of God. God has raised you up." I said, "I know my position. I am a son of God." He told me, "Be careful because I brought you on my money from Lagos." I told him, "You brought me from Lagos." And I told him, "Man, I'm telling you, I suffered for Nigerians when I was in South Africa. There's a place in South Africa I was going for the gospel, this gospel. And I was delayed by the taxi. And I asked one lady about to give me a direction. I said, 'You seem to be a Nigerian.' He began running away. I said, 'Why are you running?' I said, 'You seem to be a Nigerian.' Then I came to understand that Nigerians, they have gone everywhere. I suffered. So when I came in Nigeria, then I'm suffering. And I told the man, 'I already suffered for Nigerians, and this gospel of the kingdom must be preached.'" He introduced me to some prophet and said, "This pastor, he doesn't understand his position. He doesn't understand he's a great man of God." I don't need people to tell me that I'm a great man of God, because our position is sonship. Our position is to be sons. There's no any higher calling than to be the son of the Most High God. I told the Archbishop, "Archbishop, please, now my time is gone. I want to go back to Lagos." He said, "I'll not release the money to you." I had to board the minibus. I went on minibus from Port Harcourt to Lagos. Reaching in the Lagos, it was night, probably coming at 8. And I knew where, and I don't know where I was going, but I knew the pastor was hosting me in Lagos. So I gave him a call. I said, "We cannot come and pick you at the bus station." So what should I do? He said, "Get Okada. You people, you know Okada." Then I got the motorcycle, which is, we call it border. Then on the border, the man asked me, "Do you know where you are going?" And I knew if I say, because the situation I was going through was very hard, I said, "This time, Lord, I'm going to pretend as if I know where I'm going." I said, "Yes, I know where I'm going." Then he rode me around some time. Then after time, I pretended as if I was receiving a call. So first, stop. I was as if I'm receiving a call, but I was not receiving a call. I said, "Yes, we are just coming. We are getting to you soon." Because my life was in danger, I was not trusting the Okada people. When I went back to Kampala, I gave a testimony of how I went through with the gospel. How I was not welcomed with this gospel. But still, whether to die, whether in prison, no matter where, we are laying down our life to preach the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why today I'm celebrating, I'm enjoying this wonderful team. But in the first place, I suffered. Now I'm enjoying. I was coming and praying, and we are in Kenya, and Sister Bire, she sat near me, and I didn't introduce myself before her, but I saw her typing Manira Michael and his number, and number. I knew now in the praying, there's a sister who is going where I'm going. Until we suffer first, we cannot see the gospel advancing. Africans, I want to challenge you. That whether we are going to suffer or not, we are going to die preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the call upon our lives. We sacrifice our life daily. That is the way of the cross. Until when the life of Jesus is fully manifesting in us. Until when we are conformed in the image of Christ. In the days of Christ, how did he behave? He was beaten beyond repair. He was crucified. And he said, "Father, forgive them because they don't know what they do." You were in this cup meeting, you are still struggling with forgiveness. You are struggling with your sister who took your money. You are still struggling. I can forgive, but I cannot forget. You are still struggling for somebody who took your money. I'm talking about life and death. People, they speak against you, but you say, you woke up in the morning, they beat you beyond the place. Let me talk about Paul. And I'll finish up. One person you know about in the Bible, he gave a prophecy to him, the owner of this Beirut. It could have been better for him to go in the city because he's going to be beaten. What was the response of the changed man, Paul? The gospel had changed him. He stood up and said, I'm not only ready to be beaten, but even to die for Christ. But I must go in that city and I preach Christ. Let this camp be a camp to challenge us that when we go back home, we go with the fire as never before. Let not this be a conference of counting. 20 years conference, 21st camp meeting. Let this camp be a camp of transformation. Let this be a camp that now our lives, we are walking the way of the cross. We have been there. We are taking the burden. We are ready to change the entire. Somebody was saying this morning, it's not all about changing people before changing yourself. Let me change. My family will change. Let me change. My community will change. Let me change. My people will change. Let me grasp the truth. My people will receive it. Let these people here, if you people you change, Nigeria will change. Don't you cry when I cry when I see the riches in Nigeria. But you find the poorest people in Nigeria and the rich people in Nigeria. Why? Because the gospel has been misrepresented. But you and me, the little flock here today, the feeble people, we are big enough, we are more than enough for God to change Nigeria. For Lord to advance in every area. Many people have a mentality that they are here just to wait to go to heaven. We are not here just to wait to go to heaven. The Bible says, and let your kingdom come. Yes. Did you hear what I've just said? Many people are just waiting and say, you know, I'm a failure here, I'm a failure. I'm just waiting for him to come for me and take me to heaven. If our children are saying, if you are a failure here, if you cannot overcome the hell here, how can you overcome where we are going? Let the kingdom come. The kingdom has a policy. The kingdom has a way of governance. The kingdom has a way. So this kingdom we belong to. The kingdom of God has come to be established here. The kingdom has come. Before we go to eternity, before we go to that life, still we can see the change in our community. We can see people coming to life. We can see the change in the church. That has been my message today. Two areas on the cross. We receive free gift, but we stay there. We are crucified there. We don't go back home. We remain there. And we exchange. We live his life. And the life of Jesus Christ is not a compromiser. The life of Jesus is to go and overcome. Together, we are teaming up a team to such change in the world. Together, we are the ambassadors of the kingdom of God. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you've given us this opportunity to share the gospel, to share our suffering in the gospel, that people may really be strengthened in their lives. People have been struggling just to forgive somebody who took the money, somebody who spoke against someone. But even people risk their life to die And they said, Jesus said, I forgive everyone. And he gave his life because of us. We are willing as a team to sacrifice our lives in this cup meeting that we have brought together, that we team together, to work together, to see that Africa change and the whole world. In Jesus' name, I have prayed.